Well, what a responsibility, what a privilege to speak tonight on Pentecost Sunday on the topic of joy. How many of you were here this morning? Good, if you weren't, why not? Well, you couldn't possibly doubt that there's a link between Pentecost and joy after this morning's service. It was truly wonderful on all sorts of levels, not least the reaffirming of baptismal vows by immersion, the wonderful youth band led so brilliantly by Eden's little daughter. But you know, sadly, in my lifetime as a Christian, which is coming up 45 years now, the combination of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, and joy has been a problem for some. But there is no doubt, let alone this morning's service, there's no doubt that the two go together. First, we see it in the Bible, of course, as we'll explore later. But then also, one of the problems. Well, I want to explore that in a little way. We're all familiar with what happens if you shake up a fizzy drink. Yes? And then you undo it. I'm not sure where this is all going to go. But it's not that fizzy, actually, because it's typical. Absolutely typical. Yes. You get froth and you get some left in the bottle. It reminds me actually of when I was a schoolboy, a first year at secondary school, 1956 that was, and we had a tuck shop in those days and you could buy Coca-Cola, but of course it was in bottles in those days. And the older boys delighted in picking first year boy, and dropping in his bottle of Coca-Cola half a refresher. And you ended up with a very wet lap and virtually no Coca-Cola. It was that sort of effect, only multiplied. And I think that's the problem that some have with this idea of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit and joy. They confuse what I'm going to call the froth that comes when you shake it up. That's better. The froth with what I'll call the substance. Of course, the froth is fun, as every kid will tell you. But if you want to quench your thirst, substance is what gives you thirst-quenching drink. And so I believe it's like that with the joy and the Holy Spirit. When we experience the Holy Spirit, there can be a lot of froth. It can be expressed in terms of falling down, or spontaneously laughing, shaking, acting drunk, as we heard in our reading, being unnaturally still. Not forgetting the other expressions that have come to the fore in recent years. Glitter appearing in your hands, jewels appearing, glory clouds appearing in church. But the substance of the joy of the Holy Spirit is something more substantial. It's deeper. It's lasting. We're going to look at that a bit later. But before I go on, I want to make it very clear that I'm not saying that the substance and the froth are somehow one is better than the other. They are both wonderful. Neither should be despised. In fact, they are linked because both are from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit often gives us the froth of falling over, laughing, shaking, whatever, as it were, to get our attention, so that he can do something of substance in our lives. But it's a substance of joy, not these ephemeral things that come and go, that will give lasting value. And indeed, without the substance, there would be no froth. I thought I'd share with you a couple of very personal experiences of the froth that I have known over the last 40 years. In 1984, for those of you old enough to remember, 35 years ago, unbelievably, John Wimber held his first Signs and Wonders conference in Central Hall, Westminster.
Wonderfully,
well, Monday through Friday, very intense in those days. And as always, there was a time of worship with some of these strange vineyard songs that many of us never heard of before. There was outstanding teaching by John Wimber. And then there was what he used to call clinic time, what we would probably call today ministry. And every single session, Jenny would get zapped. That's from the Greek for being got by the Holy Spirit. But me, nothing. It wasn't for me. Until the Thursday afternoon, the fourth day, Jenny went off to a seminar somewhere else, and I stayed in Central Hall for a seminar. I think it was on deliverance, but I can't remember, because I fell asleep during the talk. But I woke up for clinic, and we were all invited to stand, and Holy Spirit was invited to come. And I just became unbelievably still. But not just unbelievably still, but I was leaning backwards at an angle. I couldn't do it now. People around me said I defied gravity. And I was there for half an hour, standing perfectly still, leaning right back, not being supported by anything physical. Jenny then arrived, having returned from her seminar, to find me like this. Not long after I came round, and she said, suggested before we went home, we went and got a cup of tea from the lovely Methodist ladies on the landing outside, if you know Central Hall, Westminster. They got a shock, because I went up to the counter, I said, no wonder they wouldn't let Wimber back for 12 years. Then 10 years later, in 1994, Jenny and I haven't got time to tell you the whole story, but we found ourselves in Toronto. We were amongst the first half a dozen Brits to go there, and that's a story in its own right. But amazingly, the first was a time of worship, some teaching, and then there was ministry time. And Jenny and I looked at one another and said, we're not going up for ministry. I don't like this here. It's all put on. And we looked at one another, and being so tight-fisted as we are, we said, but we spent all this money to get here. And then, again, long story short, I went up for ministry, ended up on the floor for the next 2+ hours. The next day, John Arnott was told that there were some strange Brits here after giving testimony. before the sermon, we both were prayed for and landed up on the floor, amazingly next to each other, but sort of like that, so head and foot. And during John Arnott's sermon that night, every time he said Jesus, which he said a lot, I was lying flat on the floor, I would go, Jesus! Nobody took any notice. Nobody was bothered. It was that sort of atmosphere. Of course, over the years, I've had many experiences of what I'm choosing to call froth. But why do I call it froth? I call it froth from something that John Wimber taught us all those years before. Somebody once asked him, when they had come round from falling over, was my falling over the Holy Spirit? And John Wimber said, no, your falling over was not the Holy Spirit. It was the impact of the Holy Spirit on your body. And what he was trying to say was, don't chase experiences. Chase the Holy Spirit. And you may or may not have experiences. That's why I've called it froth. There's nothing wrong with the froth. It's fun. It's wonderful. But if we live our Christian lives chasing those frothy experiences, we will miss the one who brings them about. It's the Holy Spirit we need to pursue. Not of the Holy Spirit, but of never fallen over, of never cried or laughed or shaken. A modern day classic of that would be Chris Gore with his amazing healing ministry. And yet he testifies that he never feels a thing. He doesn't get tingling in his fingers, nothing. And yet the Holy Spirit uses him. But having said that, I believe to this day that those frothy experiences in Toronto 25 years ago led to my being ordained. The froth brought me to the substance when I was ordained 20 years ago. So let's look a bit at the substance of joy. Joy in the Bible. When I looked in my good old NIV, sorry Bimby, my good old NIV, I found that there are no fewer than 213 occasions of the word joy, let alone all the derivatives like joyful and rejoice, just the word joy. Over 200 times in the Bible, 62 of which are in the New Testament. The Hebrew meaning of the word for joy includes things like mirth and pleasure, but also good result. And in the Greek, they have similar meanings, in addition to be well, to thrive. But there are examples of froth. In 1 Kings 8, we read how the priests were not able to stand in order to minister in the newly consecrated temple. And of course, we've already been reminded this evening of the drunkenness or apparent drunkenness of the apostles on that first Pentecost. But it's a substance of joy which I want to look at in a little bit more detail. Most of the references to joy in both the Old and the New context of the word joy is in festivals. Festivals when the people celebrated their relationship with God and what he had done for them. And that, in a way, I think, that Jesus sent out, it's highlighted in Luke's Gospel, he sent out teams into the towns and villages to minister. And in Luke 10, when he'd sent out 70 or 72 people, they all came back excited as to what had happened. And we read this: at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure." Jesus was full of joy through the Holy Spirit because of an event well done. We read a similar in Acts, when the church had ministered and seen many come to faith, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. But actually, more than that, I believe that joy is actually inherent in God's character. There's a well-known verse in Nehemiah. It's where they had completed the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, and Nehemiah instructed the people to party. And we read this: Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." For the joy of the Lord is your strength. I would like to suggest that that's not simply them having joy in what God had done, but it was actually his joy which was to be their strength. You see, given that in the Hebrew, joy includes the sense of a job well done, I believe we see this, that God has joy in his heart through the works that he has done, not least on our behalf. We see a hint of it, although the word joy isn't there, in the oft-repeated phrase in creation. And God, all familiar with Galatians 5:22, where the joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So the substance of joy, which I believe actually originates from God's very character, the substance of joy is to be something which we encounter. But that begs the question, what about joy when life isn't so joyful? Well, the Bible actually links joy and suffering from time to time. Surely not, you would say. How can I know joy so much when a loved one of mine is dying of cancer or whatever other problems in life? But the New Testament in particular points to joy being something which transcends those things. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds." He writes to the Thessalonians, "In spite of severe suffering, you welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." We're told that even Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. And James writes, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How can that be? How can we have joy in the face of suffering? It's because I believe we have to understand the difference, knowledge that God is good, that he's in control, that what he is doing will ultimately work out, that we have a secure relationship with him. In fact, in the Last Supper discourse in John, Jesus makes an amazing promise about this joy. So with you, he says, now is your time of grief, but you will rejoice. No one can take joy away from you. It cannot be taken away. But you know, having said that, while I wrote these passages a bit on joy and suffering, I thought, incidentally, in the face of suffering, when we're prayed for, when we're ministered for, there may be froth. Somebody with cancer may find themselves laughing, falling down. And that may be, I emphasize maybe, a sign that God is doing a miraculous healing. But again, as Wimber warned all those years ago, let our focus be on the Lord, not on whether somebody feels something or does something strange when we ask the Spirit to come. So, as we draw to a close, how can I experience this joy? How can I know the joy of the Lord as my strength? How can I know the wonderful link between joy and Holy Spirit? Well, actually, the simple answer is to ask him. To ask him. And to be proactive, as it were. In our home group, we're looking at Paul's letter to the Philippians. And there's a famous verse in it that we all know. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He goes on to speak of thankfulness, of what we might call today positive thinking. The reality is that however hard life gets, there are always things like the joy of the Lord. Sometimes we have to wait for it. Sometimes we have to seek him for it. They are both oft-repeated phrases in the Bible. Wait for the Lord. Seek the Lord. And his promise is that when we do that, he will always be found. We may have to wait. If he keeps us waiting, it is to teach us patience. He will be found. And oftentimes, he will choose to play with us. There will be some joyful froth. But our focus must be on him, not on the game. After all, to borrow a title from a book written in the 70s, I remember reading as a young Christian about the life and ministry of Demos Shakarian, who was founder of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. The book was called The Happiest People on Earth. We should be known for our joy. I don't mean that we laugh at people who are sick or suffering. We have to be sensitive, but we should be known as people of joy. That verse from James, count it pure joy when you face difficulties of many kinds. I was introduced to that verse by my friend at school when I was teaching, who brought me to the Lord. Because in the early 80s, I was accused of physically assaulting a boy and ended up in court. It was all a blow-up thing, and the case was thrown out of court. But I remember when the first threatening letter came from the boy's father's solicitor, and I was called into the head to show me this. When I came out of there and saw my friend, a short while later, he showed me that verse. Pure joy. When you face problems of many kinds. I nearly hit him. But actually the reality was, I did know that. And over the 6 months that it took from the first threatening letter to ending up in court, I can testify that other members of staff couldn't believe that I had joy and peace in my heart, knowing that the Lord had it all in hand. A final wonderful quote from Paul. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. May each of us, whatever our conditions are, Jenny's not here because she's got yet another to feel what is there to be joyful about. But we do know deep inside the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.